to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 114 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. This week's show, it's all going to be Star Wars, guys. The Force Awakens opened this past weekend, and we've all seen it. Tonight on the show, we've got Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
There has been an awakening.
I heard and saw. Sam is also with us tonight. How you doing, Sam?
It's true. All of it.
Okay, all right, the two of the quotes coming from the movie. And this is Ed, if I didn't say it already. How's it going, guys? But yeah, two great quotes from the new movie that we've all seen. And those quotes we figured were safe. But from here on out, we want to issue the major, major spoiler alert.
It's a trap!
And it's true, it is a trap. We don't want to tell anybody anything they don't want to hear, so if you're afraid of any spoilers, you haven't seen the movie yet, you don't want to ruin it, I'm going to say something I probably will never say again. Please stop listening. Which is such an odd thing to say as a podcast host.
I guess if you have not seen the movie, stop.
Right. I guess the true message is stop listening and then come back and listen later after you've seen the movie.
Exactly. Oh, such a better way to say that. Very cool. Because we're going to talk about everything that happened in the movie. We'll give a little bit about how we thought it went as far as the nights we saw it, which we all, I think, saw it on opening night, I believe, Thursday night, which was very cool. And then we're going to go into some of the plot. So just to be careful, pause it right now. Come back later. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Spoiler alert is off. What do you think, guys?
Hey, if you guys just went and saw it, welcome back, by the way. What do we
think?
Oh,
that's right.
I don't know. What do we think? Did you know the movie was coming? Did you hear about it beforehand?
I actually didn't hear that much about it.
I was about to say, Ed didn't hear much at all about it. He avoided it like the plague.
And I tell you what, the last 2 weeks have been real, real tough. The commercials that were on, I can't tell you how many times I was ready to turn the channel on the Star Wars beginning of a commercial, and it ended up being the Chipmunk commercial, where they started out with that Star Wars, and it ends up being Theodore or somebody farting away. Well, anyway, I finally got to see the movie, and it was a relief. We all saw it Thursday night, as we said. Yep. I think these guys saw it at 7:30 their time. And I saw it at 9:30, so it was pretty cool to get there. Now, my theater was basically the theater itself. You know, the big building was empty, but the movie theater, there was no seats empty.
So, for me, actually, I had posted a selfie, me and my son, and kind of the same thing. The lobby, there was a steady, we were waiting in the lobby. Me and Wyatt were waiting in the lobby for my friend Ian to come meet us, and there was a steady stream, but no lines or anything like that. But the theater was full. And another interesting thing is when we got out, as we were leaving the theater, I guess it was the 10 or 10:30 showing, there was a whole line built up for it. So, which was really odd that the earlier shows, there was no lines. And even though there was a full theater, but when we were leaving, there were two queued up lines.
Well, we had a 9:30 show, and we did have a line for it, where they kind of lined us up in the back-and-forth rows,
yeah.
Lines, which is funny, because Quinn and I went with my son. It was like, hey, a little taste of Disney. We're in line.
I wonder if the reason we didn't have a line is maybe because that was the first showing, so those theaters were empty.
Right. No, that's probably exactly it.
You'd think they would still be showing something in those theaters.
my experience was similar. I did a 7:40 show, and there was a 7 o'clock and a 7:20. And for the 7:40, they sort of huddled us in the lobby area. The right-hand hallway was the 7 o'clock show. The left-hand hallway was the 7:20 line. As soon as that 7 o'clock show went in, they lined up the 7:40 there. So they were very much ready for the crowds, and it was showing in every theater.
Did y'all see quite a decent amount of two things? Did you see a decent amount of police or security presence, and were there people dressed up?
No security. We had we always have a trooper's car in front of the building, a police officer's vehicle,
sure,
in front of the movie theater all the time, whether you see the officer or not. But there was one officer maybe in and out.
Okay.
Yeah, about that. And then nothing more than usual, I would say. They did allow costumes, no weapons, obviously. So no sabers,
right,
which might have been good.
But we did have. You could feel there were three police officers in the lobby of the movie theater.
Right. Well, you know, Star Wars, it's one of those violent movies.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think it's, you know, with the thing with
everybody
with
up.
Batman, and just it's just anytime you have a mass amount of people gathering in one place, it's just, you know.
True. And unfortunately, we do have to take that seriously.
Yeah.
Real quick note, I really don't want to kind of stop the Star Wars going at it, but the metal detector is at the parks down in Orlando.
Yep.
So reality kind of intrudes on our home again, but what are you going to do? At least you feel a little safer, right?
It was only a matter of time.
Yep.
Well, anyway, so I saw Star Wars The Force Awakens in standard movie theater. I didn't want to go with IMAX the first time because I really didn't want to miss anything, even though you're going to miss it no matter what. With the IMAX, we have the opportunity in my town. We have an IMAX theater to see from, you know, ear to ear. You're going to tend to miss a lot more than if you saw it standard. However, that's not saying over the Christmas break I'm going to be definitely seeing it IMAX.
Sure, me too. We did the same thing.
Did you see 3D or standard?
Standard.
I went 3D.
I only wish that they would offer an IMAX version that was not 3D. Because I enjoy the wider, bigger screen, and I enjoy the sound. I'm not a big fan of the 3D, and, you know, I'm not talking about this movie, so maybe this movie will impress me. And you could see it watching it in the standard theater at some points where it probably could impress you, so I'm going to go give it a shot.
What'd you think of 3D there, Sam?
I could only think back to how Star Wars, and let me do a little background here for a second. Star Wars, to me, is absolutely phenomenal. And I have to thank Bob Iger for his $4 billion acquisition of Lucas so that we can talk about this on the show. Right?
No doubt.
Absolutely thank you, because now this is part of the Disney universe. And that's absolutely wonderful. When I first saw Star Wars, 1977, it was not the opening weekend. I was 7 years old. And I can remember vividly the opening of Star Wars. It was not Episode 4. It was not A New Hope. It was Star Wars. The scroll completing on the screen and the huge ship coming over top of you. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine how much more impressed I would have been if that was in 3D. Because that's when 3D jumped out at you, in those scenes in space, when there's a Destroyer stretched across the screen and the nose of it is sticking out into the theater. That's where 3D to me was absolutely incredible. Outside of that, I really didn't notice it that much, which means to me it was just part of the storytelling, which was so cool. So I definitely enjoyed 3. That's what I mean, because there was no obvious 3D tricks,
they didn't
right? There was
resort no quasi-bear to any cheap 3D tricks.
Exactly. We're going the same place.
Yeah.
But the starships were awesome. The fighter scenes, it was just incredible to see some of that in 3D. And I knew going in that was going to be phenomenal. And it was. I absolutely loved it.
So when you were talking about that, the only thing I could think of was in this movie, that could have been that same destroyer that was beached on Jakku.
It absolutely could have been. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, that all said, I let me go a little bit further into my personal feelings around Star Wars and why I love it so much. Star Wars, an absolutely incredible movie when you see it, especially as a kid. Darth Vader was the most menacing bad guy you've ever seen, and he was just absolutely incredible. And at the end of Star Wars, I can remember as kids talking about who was on the Death Star when it blew up. And no, Darth Vader was in the TIE fighter that was spinning out of control, so he's still alive, but Grand Moff Tarkington isn't, and this person isn't, and going through all this stuff, not knowing that there was going to be another movie. then sometime in the early 80s, we hear there's going to be another movie, and oh my God, this is going to be great, new Star Wars, right? Which ultimately was The Empire Strikes Back. And I can remember vividly going to see or wanting to see The Empire Strikes Back, and my dad telling me, no, I don't want to go. You go ahead and go with your friends. And when I asked him why, he said, because it's going to be just like Rocky, meaning Rocky's going to fight and he's going to win. He's going to beat somebody up. So in other words, The Empire Strikes Back is going to be another movie where there's a bad guy who sword fights and there's a big Death Star or something like it that they have to blow up. So he didn't want to go because he thought that's what it would be. But we all know going into The Empire Strikes Back, it turned out not to be that at all.
No, they waited for the Return of the Jedi for that.
They did, but you were left as a 13-year-old kid with this cliffhanger that was absolutely unbelievable. Are you kidding me? Han Solo was frozen. He's out with the bad guys. The bad guys are on top. It was unbelievable 4 years or 3 years trying to figure out what was going to happen next.
That's exactly how I feel right now.
I get it. And in all of that said, which is why I think The Empire Strikes Back is one of the best movies in the series because of all that that happened. Now, some of that, you come back to The Force Awakens and go, there's a whole lot of parallels between The Force Awakens and the original Star Wars.
Okay, well, we're going to eventually get into this part anyway as far as those parallels go. And The Force Awakens and The New Hope, perhaps, is, I think, a lot closer.
I agree.
And again, this is where spoilers come in, guys. So if you're still listening and you don't want to know anything, back off now. But I tell you what, the movie opened up. And in general, we had somebody in danger running with a robot or a droid who he gave something secure to, told the droid to get back to the rebel base or the resistance base. What are we calling it now?
Resistance.
Right, which is so horrible because where did we go from the rebel base? Shouldn't we have been moving on to a better name after 30 years? Well, anyway. And
it's almost like they were downgraded from the rebels to the resistance.
Right, right, right. Well, anyway, let's get back to BB-8 now. He's running through the desert. Somebody who works in the desert in a really dry job finds the droid, befriends the droid, takes the droid to civilization, gets him back to where he belongs, and gets that vital information for a X-Wing attack on a big, big thing that's going to blow up something else. So, I don't know. Do you feel anything close to a movie we might have seen before?
Rocky?
There's definitely some parallels there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they definitely.
Right. Which, and again, it kind of leads you to, like, did they do that to make everybody feel a little bit more comfortable, or did they run out of story?
Nah.
You know, I can't figure which way that was going to kind of really give a serious nod to doing almost similar things in the two different movies. And I'm not here to kind of crush on it as much as I am here to just to say these are some of the questions that I've been left with after seeing it once.
And you know, I'm absolutely with you, Ed, which is why I told the story, because I feel like this is almost a remake of the original Star Wars to some extent. Now, you knew going into it was going to be absolutely phenomenal. The special effects would be great, and they were. A lot of the plot points are the same. But getting back to where you started, this is 30 years later. There's some old guy in a hut on a desert planet that has a map to The Last Jedi. Who is this guy? Who the heck is he? That right? There are so many places throughout this movie where you can see additional Star Wars movies that could be woven in.
This is where my second time seeing it's going to have pay off. I mean, a crowded movie theater, a lot of people coming in as the movie's starting type of stuff. I don't remember the old guy, but was his face covered?
No, he was looked like I don't want to say a Jedi, but he sort of looked like that, and he hands what, you know, looks like a futuristic long time ago USB drive that has some kind of a map on it. It turns out that's the map to The Last Jedi, which we don't know is Luke at that point. But that's what it looks like, and he hands it to him and says, you have to leave. So I'm thinking, all right, he's got this map. Somehow the First Order, which is the new bad guys, tracked him to this location, and it just so happened that the rebels got there first, or the resistance. There's so much going on at that point in time. I'm going, what is all this? What's happening? And then, boom, before you know it, your BB-8 streaming off with this thing, and there's a battle happening. And
before we go any further, let's actually kind of go over some of the new characters that we met this time around. Now, I know we have, of course, the hero girl, Rey, who is a scavenger on the planet Jukku. which is a incredible, incredible ship graveyard. Now, I don't know if I picked it up from the movie or if it was what I read afterwards, because after not seeing anything before the movie or reading anything before it, afterwards I went to town. And Juku was the place of the last battle of the Empire versus the Rebellion. So that's why I guess we had so many ships on the planet.
This is net new to the universe. We haven't seen this planet in any of the movies before.
No. And it's 30 years later, although it looks like it's hundreds of years later, to be honest with you.
Kind of does.
Based on like the Planet of the Apes movies where we had that ship that was there for how many years and stuff like that. But so she's a scavenger. She's basically taking parts from this and going to the local town and selling them for units, credits, whatever they're calling money in this one.
Rations,
actually, it looks like
I think is what it was. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
I was going to say, it looks like what they eat. It's like portions of what they get to eat. And that's our first Easter egg. That's their first cameo. And the guy selling the rations or taking the exchange, that's Simon Pegg.
I
saw that,
that
just recently, and him in heavy duty makeup, of course, but
sure.
That's what he was doing in this one.
His name is Unkar Plutt.
Yes, exactly.
Is who Simon Pegg plays, the big ugly guy that gives hands out the rations.
Sure, and I guess we shouldn't laugh about these weird names we'll never hear again, because based on the first six movies, we're going to hear all of these, no matter how obscure names, over and over and over.
Oh yeah, there will be an action figure someplace soon.
Sure. I had a character named after me even, but they didn't pronounce it the way I pronounce it. But there was Maz, don't remember her last name. She was a very ancient old person who
That's
had
the chick
Luke's
with the glasses, right?
Maz.
Right.
Kanata.
She had Luke's lightsaber, right.
Yeah.
It was pronounced Maz or whatever, but my nickname has always been through high school, college, and after Maz. M-A-Z. So it was kind of cool reading it.
Maserata, like that?
Well, they based it on my name, but no. Hers was.
I'm asking. I don't know. They do that kind of stuff all the time.
You don't know. I don't know.
Maserati. All right.
So
anyway,
one of the things I really appreciated about the movie, now that we're getting into these characters, is how many new faces we saw.
Yeah, you're right.
They didn't really they didn't cast famous people. They cast people who kind of off air. You kind of told us about the guy that plays the fighter pilot Poe Dameron. And what he was in before, but I would have never known that. I didn't recognize him. Something I always gave praise to the last Superman movie, The Man of Steel, is that they used an actor that is really kind of unknown, so you don't really have any preconceived notions about these people when you first see them.
Which is a trick right out of George Lucas's book, right?
Yeah,
true.
Sure,
gotta
true.
Love that. Gotta love that.
Although I thought in the beginning it was just due to money. I mean, he had a lot of heavy-duty stars. And there's actually a lot of cameos in this movie, too. We'll talk about a couple more. And we'll also talk about the old faces in a couple minutes, too.
Well, the new creatures, too, are phenomenal. And I know that's part of what you're talking about. But you have to throw a shout-out to J.J. Abrams sticking to making things real. Building the sets and creating the puppets and making it look real. No computer generated. And oh my God, was it a relief. It felt like the original Star Wars. It really did. There was. You watch episode one or even go back now and watch A New Hope on DVD and they have all those special bonuses that they put in. I want to see what I saw when I was a kid. I want to see the additional stormtroopers riding in the background that are computer generated. Thank you, JJ.
I just saw something on Facebook, an article, and it was about the guy who originally made the first movie, the Stormtrooper uniforms.
Okay.
And it showed how he made them and how the method that was used to make them. And, you know, he talked about them not necessarily being perfect, that one side of the mask was a little bit bigger than the other, and not all of them were identical. So they when you do it CGI, everything's so perfect, you can almost pick it out.
Yes.
Right. Well, and I tell you,
no, I didn't.
And I tell you what, if you watch a parade down at Hollywood Studios with the stormtroopers walking, you'll see a little bit of an imperfection. It's not exactly the clones or the soldiers that we're used to seeing in the movies.
Sure,
but it does stick out, and I don't think they could do that really with the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the first characters, actually new characters we met, was Finn, and Finn actually is kind of a question mark at this point, in that he was a stormtrooper. From what he said, he was taken early age, trained as a stormtrooper, and in his first battle, he had some doubts.
Oh, you can see the conflict just when he when he gets the order, when they all get the order to kill everyone in the town, you could see, you automatically saw the conflict that he didn't want to do it.
Right, which automatically is kind of odd, because stormtroopers are trained not to have that type of feeling. And, yeah, so that stood out. And what was his number, guys? I forget what the number was. FN something.
FN2187.
That's right. That's right. How could I ever forget that number? And what did we find out over this past week?
Well, I think, Ed, you did a little homework and matched that to Princess Leia's cell number in the original Star Wars, 2187. Well,
and the only reason I was looking, because Sam also said, you know, that number has to be something.
Well, so I expected it to be February 1st, 1987, some tie there. That was stuck out to me, but it turns out that's not it at all.
Right. And there was actually some things, I forget what they are now, but I did do some looking up just on the date, Disney-wise, and things like that. There was a movie released. I can't think off the top
of
my head.
So the movie is called 2187. It is by a director that influenced George Lucas. And if you look for that on YouTube, it's 2187. It is very strange. It's about 9 minutes long.
Yes, we don't endorse it.
It's very strange. Although the only reason I did, if you look in Wikipedia and find 2187, there is an interview that George Lucas did around 2009, where he talked about the fact that the concept of the Force itself came out of that short film. And there is a part in it where they talk about there's a force around us to control it. It's really weird and very strange and not recommended, but that it's cool.
But worth watching, because you see a little bit of the inspiration of the whole idea.
Sure.
And I think it was 2-1-87.
2-1-87. And when you realize it was made in the 60s, a lot of it comes together. There were a lot of recreational activities happening that may have influenced.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, now thinking of it.
Yeah, it came out in like 64 or something like that. So.
Okay, well, very cool. And Finn actually is a key character all throughout the entire movie. So we'll be seeing him in part 2, or part 8, I guess.
So the interesting thing there, when the action figures and the toys first hit the stores, there was Finn and there was Rey. And neither one of them had a last name. And there was no explanation to why outside of it's a plot point. And now after seeing it, obviously, Finn, when he first is introduced to Poe as they're stealing a TIE fighter, which was a cool scene when they're trying to escape with this thing, Poe asks him what his name is. And he says, my name's FN2187. That's what they call me. I'm a stormtrooper. That's how I was raised. And he immediately said, nope, Finn. Finn's your name. So he doesn't have a last name.
Right. And I actually think that's pretty cool, because it gives us a little window into the stormtrooper livelihood, or how they're brought up or how they're trained.
It does.
Because we do know a lot of the clones and how they're trained and the different jobs and such like that. Well, now we have real citizens of the Empire, or after Empire. I'm not even sure what to call it anymore, because, again, we have the Resistance versus, and this is the big name we have to get used to, the First Order.
Yeah.
Now, the First Order couldn't, and I don't want, again, not to be too negative, but couldn't they come up with a better name than the First Order? That does, of course, really kind of right away for me sounds like a World War II First Order type of theme with, you know, Germany and things like that. But, and they do wear a lot of black still, so I don't know, the officers and such.
You know, one of the things, talking about this, one of the things that strikes me is that how good of a job they did. We talked about the first battle, and you see this stormtrooper and that's a little conflicted. And then a little while after that, you see him take off his helmet. And then not long after that, Poe gives him the name Finn. So they took steps to separate him from the stormtrooper and humanize him.
Yep. And where he actually got in trouble.
Where he actually got in trouble, absolutely.
Well, he got in trouble for taking his helmet off, even, meaning that's a stormtrooper rule. You never take your helmet off outside of the barracks or whatever. So even seeing that, and actually the person that reprimanded him for that was another new character on the evil side, so to speak, the First Order. Who was that again?
Captain Phasma.
Phasma, which, thank you. You know, this unfortunately is a character made for the toy store, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully in the second and the next movie she'll have a little bit more involvement or not. She could be dead for all we know, actually.
You know, the ultimate question, man, just like that first movie I saw when I was a kid, who was on that planet at the end? Who knows?
Sure, who made it up?
No, they never showed, watching it a second time, they never showed any bad guys after it, only the good guys.
The other thing was that you talked about them, you know, Finn, and, you know, he's a stormtrooper, he's not really supposed to do that. So once he escaped with Poe, they kind of set a precedent for that and said, no, we tested him, and he's fine.
No previous episodes or whatever, however they phrased it.
But apparently they kind of set the tone that this is not maybe the first time that one has kind of gone awry. Or, you know,
there's a whole spinoff movie right there, Jimmy. There really is.
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of reading as far as, and I've told these guys in the past, I read a lot of the Star Wars books. After the first movie came out, the first book I remember coming out right after it was Splinter of the Mind's Eye. It had Luke and Leia doing some adventure off on some weird planet, jungle planet.
So you're talking after the original Star Wars, Ed? Like back in...
After the original number 4.
Okay.
A New Hope. And I've been reading the books ever since. And they've got whole chains of books that use the New Hope as the base, and then they go back thousands of years into the beginning of the Jedi and the Sith, and then they go forward also. So a lot of the stories I've read into the future have Han Solo and Leia Organa getting married and having kids, having Force-sensitive kids that actually train under Luke Skywalker. So in a way, even though I didn't see anything about this movie coming up, I think I am tainted in that I'm expecting certain storylines that... Which Jimmy brought it up, is there are always questions coming out of the movies. And I've got, I think, more questions now because I do know the storylines. Now,
well, so are those... I'm with you, but I never read any of those books. So do those exist to the directors of Star Wars? Did J.J. Abrams consult those?
Well, they always say that the writer of these books always have to have approval from the LucasArts company. And in each of the books, they have this really great timeline that places the book you're reading inside that universe. And it's really cool to kind of see where these things play out. My absolute favorite books are the Han Solo adventures. This took place probably about 10 years before he met, maybe 8, 10 years before he met Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and started his whole path down the rebellion. Where him and Chewbacca were on the Outer Rim doing job after job. And
smuggler.
It kind of fits in because it fits in a lot of those missing puzzle pieces that how he got the Falcon, where it came from, how they got used to it, and, you know, different things like that. But and kind of ties into the new movie because you got to mention the Falcon as being one of the stars of this movie.
Sure.
Force Awakens, the Falcon played a major part from the very beginning of it.
It did.
Throughout the entire movie.
Absolutely.
Even to the point where we see a little wound from the last movie, from number 6, where it lost its long-range sensor dish. Because one of the things that stood out right away to me was they have a square dish now on the top of the Falcon, or a rectangle-shaped dish. So that was kind of cool,
They broke that off going into the Death Star in Jedi, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
And, so
here's a spoiler for you, go back to your book, Han Solo had his last adventure.
we got
a lot of new movies. There's new movies in the pipe.
Yeah, absolutely.
For Han, so he's not going away.
In what way? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you got me confused on that one, Sam.
No, so if I
look you're talking
right
about
now
like Rogue
at D23 magazine. Yeah, so the D23 magazine that just came out has a list of the future movies here. And after Rogue One, which we're going to see next year, which is a spinoff movie from the original, then it goes to Episode 8, and then it goes to a yet untitled Han Solo movie.
Maybe one of the adventure movies. With somebody else playing.
Yeah, young.
And you know what? It'll definitely be somebody new playing Han Solo.
2018, Star Wars Anthology, Han Solo Untitled. That's all we got.
And I got a big smile because the best thing about this is it's still going to be Chewbacca. There's no way that's ever going to change.
Yeah,
he's like,
you got to like it.
He is an old, you know, a species that lives a long time, and he's throughout all of these different stories. We saw him in the first 3 movies, in 3.
So one of the things that came up, and I don't remember where I read it, it might have been in the Facebook group, the Disney Nerds Facebook group, was talking about how crazy it was that Peter Mayhew played Chewbacca again, because the last time they had seen him, he could barely walk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know he played him this time. I was he like, did, wow, that's...
But in the IMDb, there's another person, Junis Satamo, says Chewbacca double. So Peter Mayhew played Chewbacca, but I get a lot of that stuff was too strenuous. Apparently, I've never seen him. Apparently, he's in bad shape.
I read an interview with Peter while they were filming, and he had mentioned that he's doing all of the close-ups, but anytime you see Chewbacca running or moving, it's somebody else.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
I thought Chewbacca actually was very expressive in this movie. I haven't seen him so...
And funny, by the way.
Right, involved in the conversation. There were a lot of jokes that were based... that he was making sure we understood that was a joke.
Did they go too far with the jokes? What do you think?
No.
I didn't think so either. My wife...
Each of the movies have that share of that. I mean, and again, once I see it the second time, I'll let you know after that one, too. But no, I didn't think so. It was kind of, you know, you did get kind of that humor thing. And we did kind of get taken on that other adventure again. I mentioned how I didn't want to be like Six, where everybody gets back together just to be able to take a, you know, a trip somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that Leah didn't go. She stayed behind. I would have been really disappointed if she went too. And R2-D2, he's basically, that's another one of those big questions, I think, from this entire movie also.
Sure.
Was R2-D2 being dormant till the end, and one of us thinks it was maybe somebody who's Force-sensitive that woke him up.
I think, I personally think she is Luke's daughter.
Which is the question, where does Rey come from? We know that she was left on this planet, we saw those little flashbacks of a baby being left on a desert planet, but we don't know who the parents are. So that, again, is going to be another one of those questions we talked about earlier for the next movie, finding out a little bit back about her past. Which, you're going to see this thread as we go on, though, because every story we talk about ends up being what's happened in the last 30 years. We can jump to the Luke Skywalker story. We start out the movie by finding out Luke Skywalker's missing. Well, actually, it was funny because we find out that Luke Skywalker is actually real. Rey thought of it as a story that she, I guess, heard from somewhere about some mythical guy who was a hero that kind of saved people, which couldn't have been true.
Absolutely. Right.
So, you know, one of the big questions coming out of this movie is who is Rey? And some people thought that she may be Han's daughter. Han really took a liking to her in this movie as soon as, very shortly after he met her. But I personally think she's Luke's daughter, and a couple of things lead me to believe that. First of all, Luke's lightsaber called to her. And then when she touched it, that's when she had all those visions.
Yeah, but didn't she try to give the lightsaber to Finn?
Well, no, she didn't.
First?
No,
she tried to give the lightsaber to somebody else first and ended up giving it to the girl. So she was trying to unload it. Oh, crap. Who was it first that she tried to give it to?
It wasn't that she tried. She didn't try and give it to.
Or showed it.
Try and give it to Rey. Rey found it. It was in the. She found it.
Oh, right.
And she went to touch it. And then once she touched it, she had all these freaking crazy visions that she didn't want. Then she didn't want nothing to do with it because it brought all these crazy memories. Which another cool thing.
Were they memories or they're the way visions
ended
future?
Up living with it?
Well, they were visions. Well, some of them were.
That's what I mean. There were. What was it?
Some of it was actually. Another thing that I read was pretty interesting is that in that, Obi-Wan Kenobi, first of all, Ewan McGregor actually went over there and did a little bit of voice work just for that scene. And then they also got the older Obi-Wan from A New Hope to say Rey. I forgot what word they cut it from. They found something where he says a word and they cut Rey out of it because he's gone.
Alex, that was Sir Alex Guinness, and they cut it out of Afraid.
Afraid.
So some
they cut Rey out of Afraid.
How cool is that? How cool.
So.
Is that?
And then
I said Frank a little earlier, just real quick. Frank Oz also had a little word or two for Yoda.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. So, mm-hmm.
So in that little snip, you get the original Obi-Wan, you get Ian McGregor's Obi-Wan, and you get Yoda all in there without being in the movie. That's so cool.
They're all in there. So then the other thing was, so the lightsaber called to her, and she found it, and then she gets all these visions. And then later on in the movie, when she's battling Kylo Ren, the lightsaber gets thrown into the snow, and he tries to pull it to himself with the force, and you see it kind of wiggling, and then all of a sudden it just takes off and it flies to her hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last piece of it is when the first time you see R2, BB-8 goes up to it, and C-3PO tells him that R2, you know, basically went into low power mode ever since Luke left. And then later on in the movie, when Rey lands on the planet, R2 comes back to life.
Hmm. Which essentially insinuates that a droid can feel the Force.
Well, not just the Force, because Leia's got the Force.
Yeah. I that one to me was, I'm like, okay, I'll go with it. It's a movie.
It's almost it almost was like more like she sensed Luke. And, like R2 sensed Luke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Leia and Luke are brother and sister, though. Why wouldn't that be as strong as father and daughter?
I don't know.
I agree. There's something.
We're playing with details that have no clue what's going on.
No. Exactly. But I can tell you at the end, at the very end, when she's holding out the lightsaber and Luke turns around, like, I almost anticipated her saying father.
Right.
Like, I almost, like, was expecting it.
Okay, well, here's where the taint comes from reading the books. In the book series, as it continues on into the future, Han and Leia have three kids. The first are twins. I think it's Jason and Jayla, and they are Force-sensitive. They actually become Jedis. The boy becomes a Sith Lord, actually, because evil has to be put down. So to me, right away, my thought was Rey was the twin sister, but Leia definitely didn't recognize her or mention anything about it,
right.
But that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't necessarily.
Because that could be something where she didn't recognize her. She didn't put the two together that she was on Jakku or whatever, or maybe she lost the daughter somewhere else and was transported. So again, another reason to have a flashback session as far as where she came from.
Yeah, I agree.
Or scenes or whatever.
I think that's definitely within the realm of possibility, but those are just the things.
Yeah.
My train of thought, without having read the books,
sure.
This has got to be Luke's daughter.
Right, right, and I kind of probably should trust that more so at this point for that reason. You didn't read the books. Now, another thing is, and you brought up his name, was the new bad guy. The guy we've been seeing his face for the past 6 months in the stores, on the TV, all the different things, which you couldn't avoid, the new Darth Vader, quote-unquote, looking guy.
Kylo Ren.
Or, more importantly, Ben Solo. Which we find out going through the movie. And it gets to the point where we find out a lot of information, but, of course, not enough.
Hmm.
Ben trained under Luke Skywalker with a lot of other Jedis, we found out. Something happened where Ben turned evil. Something nasty enough that drove Luke to, say, throw up his hands and bag it all and take off for ends of the universe, and then to have Ben come out as this new evil lord.
And so another interesting part of that is his name isn't actually Kylo Ren. His name would just be Kylo, and he was part of the Knights of Ren, which they haven't really talked a lot about.
But we're in the flashback or future.
Right. You see part of the Knights of Ren, but they don't really go into a lot of detail. So, like,
right.
Ren
again,
is kind of like the order he belongs to or whatever. But
right. And now this is one of those questions. Now, this storyline where we're going to have to go back and find out about it, where Luke forming the Jedi Order again and losing control of it, that to me almost sounds like it could be the entire next movie or the last movie or even the next trilogy coming up would be, again, flashing back.
Sure.
This 30-year gap gives them so many opportunities to do stuff.
Absolutely.
So, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting next, 12 years?
Hey, how did you like the actor that they picked to play Kylo Ren or Ben Kenobi?
I thought he looked a little too pretty. Is that a good term for that?
First of all, I thought he looked like Gene Simmons' son.
Have you ever seen
Gene Simmons' TV show? But he's got an odd voice. I guess not voice, but accent.
Didn't notice. I'll have to.
I was
see
okay
it again.
With his regular voice. I didn't like his master voice because it sounded to me like I could go to Toys R Us and buy a voice changer and do that myself. I didn't like it, and I didn't get that all-empowering bad guy. As soon as he took his mask off, I was kind of disappointed.
I'm sissy.
Like, wait a minute. No, I looked at
no,
it.
No, I'm talking about that's what you thought. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
my.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I thought. That's the bad guy? Just shoot him.
Like, you're like, I can take this guy.
Exactly. It wasn't like Vader standing 7 foot tall, just all immersive. He wasn't that good of a bad guy. He did not inspire me like Vader did.
So one of the interesting things with him is that when Han walks out on the bridge and he tells him to take off the mask, you don't need that mask.
Yeah.
But then during the battle scene with Rey, she cuts him pretty good across his face, so maybe now he does.
He should have left the mask on.
Now maybe he does need the mask.
Now he needs the mask. I'm with you there,
hey,
Jimmy.
Okay, and again, this is the all-spoiler show. Tell me you didn't know, as soon as you saw him out on that bridge and Han taking the turn toward the bridge, you knew what was going to happen.
I didn't know. I knew one of two.
I
knew one of them was going to die at that point.
And it couldn't be the bad guy, because we're relying on him for the next three movies.
I thought it was going to be both of them. I really did.
And going down, and that's true too, because there is an ultimate bad guy that we don't know a lot about. Kylo was talking to this big, big holographic image of another bad guy who looked pretty scarred up, or he could just be alien. And we don't know exactly what's going on, other than he is somewhere else. He told Kylo to come to him for more training since he got beat up by a girl.
Yeah, he also told him to bring the girl with him.
Yeah.
Right, which that doesn't look like it's going to happen. And which also now,
did you think,
and you mentioned the girl again, brings up another real quick point just want to throw out there. Okay, Rey has never seen a lightsaber before. Rey never knew that the Force was real, and yet within
minutes,
what, a day or whatever, finding all this stuff
yeah,
out.
Make it, give her a week, but still.
She
yeah.
is an incredible swordsman. She's talking to droids, and she can summon things through the air with the Force.
Pretty impressive.
Am I being a little pessimistic?
You're right. Like, and she really didn't have as good of an understanding of the Force. You really see her really grasp it more when he pushes her and she comes to that edge of the rock or whatever, and she just kind of closes her eyes. And then you could see at that point she was like,
There was a lot of experimenting, right?
So oh, no, there was back, a lot going on, sure.
There was a lot going on where the Stormtrooper, you
oh, that was funny
me.
As hell, by the way.
Oh, speaking of, this is a good one. Okay, we wanted to do these Easter eggs. Now, she mind tricks a Stormtrooper, makes him do something different, makes him leave the room, drop his blaster and all the other stuff. That's another one of the famous cameos from the movie. That was Daniel Craig.
Was it
the
really?
Current James Bond.
Oh, what
yeah.
was it?
I did not know
and
that.
And Simon Pegg let the cat out of the bag maybe 6 months ago whenever they were making the movie. And, yeah, Daniel Craig was there just for the day. He was dressed up as the Stormtrooper, and he was the guy during that scene where she gives him the message about, hey, I think you should leave, and by the way, drop the blaster, and he does it.
That's so fantastic, cool. By the way. That's a great story.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. But that was – so she's got it there, and then she really figures it out when Kylo tries to get in her head.
Oh, yeah, that's when she really –
which they had already established. So they established it in the movie that – Ren had the ability to get inside somebody's head and read their mind. And that's how he found out where the map was from Poe, right? So he got in his mind and found out he put it in a BB unit, he referred to him as. So you're mm-hmm. assuming the same yep. thing's going to happen when he's trying to figure out where the map is or ultimately you've seen the map. How did you convince a droid to show it to you, which is another hint here that there's something going on, and then show me that. Let me see what you saw. And she pushes right back at him. And it's, whoa.
Well,
and when she pushes back,
thing.
Wow.
That was another thing. Didn't at some point she say, I see an island or something like that? And she kind of saw where Luke was?
Well, he says that to her. He says, I see an island.
Oh,
I
she see sees
you're
it.
Lonely. He's in her mind. You're lonely. I see an
you're
island.
Right.
I see all
but
these
so
things.
So isn't that another connection to Luke?
It absolutely could be. And then, mm-hmm. because at that point, she hadn't seen water until they got to that planet, right? I never knew there was this much green in the galaxy. Then she's pushing back at him, and it was absolutely incredible when she goes, you're afraid. You're afraid you'll never be as strong as Darth Vader.
Absolutely.
And whoa, holy cow. That right there to me was a huge plot point. I loved it.
Right. So we're going to have to find out in the next movie that she is so strong in the Force that this all came natural to her. There's no other way it could be that way other than, training and then amnesia.
So when you saw the Supreme Leader.
That's what they referred to him as.
Supreme Leader. Yes. Snoke.
Snoke.
Did you think Wizard of Oz at all?
A little bit, yeah.
You got this big hologram. I'm waiting for some three foot guy to walk around
behind a green curtain. Oh man. That's bad.
I am the Supreme Leader.
Well, as we get toward the end of the movie, we do find out that the final goal has been reached. And the ultimate spoiler is that we're looking for Luke Skywalker. He's been gone for, and we're not sure how many years he's been gone for, but he's been gone. And, well, the ultimate goal is to put the map together with the droids. R2-D2 wakes up to finish that equation, and we find Luke Skywalker finally.
Obi-Wan-esque Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, no, Mark Hamill's going to be in the second movie, I got to think.
God, he's got
and that's a good thing.
Second movie, absolutely.
I mean, just the look, you know. I mean, so he's just got that. He's got the Jedi robe, but I mean, Obi-Wan didn't have the beard. He's got the gray hair. He's got the long beard.
Sure, he I was gonna say a hobbit. No, he looks like he's a definite hermit. You know, he's on his own for how many years? We don't know.
Right. What else is cool here is that Mark Hamill is actually older than Alex Guinness was for New Hope.
Wow.
That I thought was pretty cool. At the time that they shot it, Mark Hamill's older now than he was then.
Mark Hamill isn't old.
He's older than Sir Alex Guinness was.
So he's got to be 60-something.
Yeah.
That's now, let me go back for a second to the scene on the bridge. Because watching it a second time, I looked at this different. Because there's a point here where Han is attempting to convince his son, Ben, to come with him. Right, and that's where this whole thing starts. Come with me. We can go back. There's still good in you, kind of a thing. Because Leia even says to Han before he leaves, there's still light in him. I can feel it. And when you watch this scene the second time, it's sort of interesting because they're draining the subplot here is they're draining the son's energy to establish this new massive gun that they've created, the new Death Star that is a planet that can take over the solar system.
Right. Sure, sure. And the way you said it, I want to make sure you don't realize he's not draining the sun as in Han and Leia's sun. They're draining
He's draining the star. And they know that as long as they're draining that star and there's light, the weapon isn't fully charged yet. And when you watch this a second time, it looks like he's going to go with Han. He turns off his saber. He puts his mask down. As soon as that light goes completely away and the sun's completely drained, they cut to his eyes and his eyes change. Almost like at that point in time, he saw the dark side again and he saw what the dark side could bring. And that's when it happens.
What happened?
Yep.
And watching it that way, it's like, whoa, he wasn't. Maybe there was good.
So now, why doesn't the sword go through with those two like things on the edge, the hand guards that light up? Why do they light up? Why? I know they're lasers for the light saber. So yeah, I gotta check that one out again.
So what,
it's a little
different
than what a normal lightsaber is, though. I don't know why it's different. It makes a different noise and it looks more unstable than a lightsaber does.
They all make. I don't think he knows what the heck he was doing.
Mark Hamill is 60.
When he put it together, yeah, you never know.
That's my thought.
Sure.
So,
and I like the cool little part at the end when Rey gives Luke back his lightsaber. He's like, "Hey, this is yours."
That is pretty cool.
Father.
No,
and she does not say that. So let's go back to the bridge.
I wonder,
what were your thoughts when that happened? What were you guys thinking? Ed, you said you knew he was going
to
be going.
I was thinking, I figures, and I knew, and to be honest with you. I knew exactly what was going to happen the whole way through it, where he was going to look like he was going to turn, which he did, and then he wasn't going to turn, which he didn't, and then he kills Han.
Jimmy.
Or he was going to try to kill Han. I didn't know that was definitely going to happen, so that was kind of like the icing on the cake.
And I didn't know. At that point, when Han walked out on the bridge, I knew one of them was going to die probably at that point, but I didn't know. I didn't know.
Sure. And this goes against the book theory, because in the books, down the road, Chewie ends up getting killed first.
So there you go.
So you can't always trust that.
I really thought they were both going to go, both going to fall somehow.
Sure, and that would make a great scene, too, them both going off the edge. But I still see this guy being the bad guy for the future.
I do, too. Yeah. Now, I also, my
Especially
feelings
more now.
Were, I couldn't believe that it happened. And my feelings were exactly the same as when I watched Boba Fett go get offed in The Empire Strikes Back. I just had that same feeling in my stomach. I'm like, that's sure, my guy. You can't kill my guy.
I felt as bad for Boba Fett dying as you did for
Boba
Han Solo.
Boba Fett was awesome. He didn't do anything. He's just a bounty hunter doing his job. He had nothing to do. No way.
Boba Fett's not. He's not a good guy.
No, he didn't end up being a good guy.
But although, I loved him. Dude, come on. Boba Fett was the action figure that had the thing that shot that they recalled because it shot off his back, and he had a jetpack on his back. But anyway, you look at it. That's the way I felt. I love
it. Don't get me wrong. Boba Fett's got a great history. I mean, Jango's son. And again, going back to the books, there's a series of bounty hunter books that has Boba being a main character, and he does have honor, as you know, according to the writings, there is some type of honor in this guy's life. He's Mandalorian, and that's just the way it is for these guys, where they just contract out, they do the job, and they move on. So what Sam's saying is true.
Yeah, I mean,
but
it's like pirate
honor.
It's
not
like pirate's honor. It's not, you know, it's like bounty hunter honor.
Yeah,
it's not real honor.
Han going just was, you know, upsetting. Anybody out there who listens to our show that also watches The Walking Dead, this past season we lost Glenn for a couple shows. And the first time Glenn went down, it was like the mouth open scene, like holy crap, he just died when you never expected it to. Although Han, not even as shocking as Glenn was, because
it's
again, I expected that. And to be honest, I think they kind of moved on really quickly. Chewbacca and Rey kind of looking for Luke was pretty quick, and they seemed happy as hell getting out of town. So,
yeah,
you know, they moved on pretty quickly.
It also felt like that moment in A New Hope when Obi-Wan goes down, right? There's a parallel there.
Sure.
It's different, though, because he's not a Jedi. I agree, Jimmy. It is different.
It was different because, I mean, Obi-Wan went down by his own accord. He lifted the saber.
He knew.
Straightening now while Luke
sees it. Yeah.
Yep.
But it was still a main character getting killed,
yeah,
causing another reaction. And you're right. In A New Hope, those guys ended up getting on the Falcon. He cried for about 2 seconds, and then they ended up shooting TIE fighters and congratulating themselves over that, getting back to the Rebel base and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, they got past it fast. It's a movie. We got to move on.
Yeah. And we will. I mean, at first I'm like, oh, my gosh, J.J. did off with Han. But then you can see there's bigger things happening here.
Damn you, J.J.
That was my
Abrams.
First thought. My first thought was I'm making a T-shirt. But then I got it.
Nah. Bring back Off Kilter. No, it's not going to happen.
Off Kilter is back. They're back on WDW today.
They never went anywhere. They're just not in Canada.
I saw they actually had a band was singing some Christmas stuff in there. It actually kind of looked a little Canadian or
they
northern.
Do. And by the way, if you guys listen to the show next week, you'll hear a little bit of that when we do a little Epcot Christmas.
Awesome. Well, that's a really cool kind of segue because we're at the end of this incredible
Star
Wars.
Why don't we
want to
talk so much more?
Oh, I know we could talk so much more.
So
the only question I
need to ask you guys.
Okay, I was going to say last thoughts. Go ahead.
Last thought. Who was still on? Who was on the planet when it blew up? Because at a couple of points there were some great jokes in there. The last time we see Captain Phasma, Han jokes about putting her in a garbage chute because at one point in the movie we find out Finn is in sanitation, which is a very funny tie together. But was she on there when it blew up, or was she off? Obviously, Kylo had to have gotten off, even though the last time we see him, he's laying in the forest in disarray with, I don't know if he lost an arm in that battle or just got cut bad or what happened, but something's going on there. Obviously, the Supreme Leader was never on the planet. He's a hologram from someplace else. I don't know who is or isn't on the planet.
Well, that's about it, really, character-wise. And the good guys we all saw made it off.
Good guys we saw, they all made it off.
They lived.
And then the good guys go, as we know, they finish this map to Luke. And if you watch it, Chewie and R2 are on that planet at the Falcon when Rey walks up the hill. So those two are there with her. That's how they leave it.
Okay. Now, real quick, as far as merchandising goes, I think Phasma will be back.
Because of merchandising, oh my gosh.
Hell of a armor set she's got.
Yeah.
I think that it was really kind of novel of them to make R2-D2, C-3PO have a red arm, because now we know we'll have the Force Awakens C-3PO toy versus New Hope C-3PO toy.
Yeah.
So
and
that's
we'll also
cool.
have a spinoff
Thankful
movie
did that.
We'll have a spinoff movie to explain why it's there.
Sure, that'll be the short. That'll be something down the road. So, you know,
Kim.
There are a lot of questions, and I think a lot of the questions
we're going to finally, I think we're finally going to get some information before the next movie where we're going to start learning different things and filling in some of the characters. And that actually, I think, is going to be a plan so that you'll be even more psyched to see the next one and see where they go.
We were at Toys R Us over the weekend, and Kim hadn't seen the movie yet, and we were passing some merchandise. She goes, "Why does C-3PO have a red arm?"
Exactly.
I said, "I can't tell you. I'm going to ruin the whole movie."
And how much is the question answer? What's the answer to that question in dollars and cents?
Exactly.
Well, as you can hear from Jimmy, Sam, and myself, we really did like this movie. We're going to finish up the show with giving it a rating from a scale of 1 to 10, just in our idea of what we thought of it. Again, I want to see it a second time, so my rating could change down the road. And I'll start with first myself. I think I came out of that movie with a solid 7. I don't think it was a movie that I was jumping up and down and doing somersaults because it was back and it was incredible and the story was out of this world, but it also didn't stink. It also didn't disappoint. I think we got everything that we expected. I think we got some good questions to wait for the next movie. And like I said, we got some new merchandise. Does everybody have their black X-Wing yet?
I have my new TIE fighter in a popcorn bucket that I got at launch day.
I saw that. Now, in Hollywood Studios, they have the Carbonite Han Solo all the time at Min and Bill's. I saw that.
Yeah, they also have at Kids Mill now, too, by the way. You can buy Kids Mill inside
great.
It. Not just
TIE popcorn. Fighter popcorn. Now, TIE Fighter is awesome. It's that black with the red.
It's so big.
Everything's black and red now. What's up with
so
that?
It's so big. That fighter is so big. I mean, you got to get
that
on the airplane.
Well, actually, I think whoever mentioned you put it on the table on your desk and use it like a pen holder or something like that.
Yeah, but you have to get it home.
Oh, right. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, you're right. You're saying it's big on the phone.
Yeah, so I wore it around my neck through security.
Very cool. So the merchandising continues.
I think I'm with Ed. I think it's 7, maybe 7.5 on a good day.
I'm with you guys, too. The 7. Why? I guess, why? Sorry if I interrupted you.
No, I was going to say my final thought is
I'm a Jedi. Like my father.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. I'm going with a 7.2. You knew the effects going into this thing were going to be absolutely phenomenal. I was a little disappointed. JJ was awesome. The effect, you knew it going in. 3D, unbelievable. But I felt like some of the story I saw before. I really did. I was a little disappointed because I was looking for that Star Wars something different. Hey, guess what? There's a planet now that's bigger than the Death Star, and they just happen to make this little trench that they can fly through so they can go and blow up the shield thing. Was it cool that Han got through the shield by flying at light speed? That's cool.
Yeah, that is
cool. Oh, yeah, it was.
Anyway,
it was.
There were a lot of things here I felt like I saw that before.
Well,
definitely.
My thoughts on that is they tried to do something different before, and that's what got you episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Well, so
I think they intentionally wanted to go to something a little more reminiscent and a little more that felt like the original 3.
So then is this a remake of A New Hope?
No, definitely not.
With different storylines.
Because
I felt that at one point.
But they used a couple guaranteed storylines to get you moving.
Sure.
And enough to set up not only the next two in the third trilogy of trilogies, but they also have so much to offshoot movies here. I think about it. There's a movie for C-3PO's arm. There's a movie, how the heck did the lightsaber end up with this strange eyeball lady that should be Maz, but they call her something different? There's tons of things here that are other movies.
Sure, the new Jedi Order, that for 30 years we haven't seen more Jedis because of something funky that happened with Ben and Luke, or Kylo, I should say, and Luke.
And how many were there? How many were trained? What happened to the other ones?
Which I think the guys trailing Kylo could be those Jedi, to be honest, the Knights of
Ren. The Knights of Ren. There's a
huge category
there.
Maybe. But again, more questions.
All right, stop,
Well, anyway, guys, we want to hear what you think of the movie. If you've seen it, give us an email. Let us know. We want to read it on our show. Because you know what? I have a feeling we're going to be talking about Star Wars again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just something in the Force just kind of tells me that we'll probably be revisiting this one time again. Or more. That's it for this week, guys. Throw us your questions. Let us know what you thought of the movie. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
Guarini.
May the Force be with you.